Happy Sabbath, everyone. Boy, we try that again. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Is it a happy Sabbath? Are you really, really happy? You just don't want to say it really loud? Okay. Well, how many of you know of a person that is fairly, very important in the Adventist Church by the name of Ellen G. White? How many of you know who Ellen G. White is or have heard of Ellen G. White? Well, on top of that, how many of you have seen our beautiful garden out there? Oh, a lot of you. How about the adults? How many of you have walked out in that garden? There's more children that have been out there. You need to get out there too. It is a beautiful garden. It is a beautiful garden. Now, is it a perfect garden? Is it a perfect garden? Sadly, now I'm not saying anything. I'm not condemning anybody that has a plot over there. But the weather hasn't been nice, has it? I mean, it's been nice, but there's been very little rain, and it's been hot. And if you go through the garden, some of the plants are starting to wither up, and the flowers are starting to wither up and almost look dead, if not dead. I'm not a flower person, so I don't know if they're dead yet. And there's some weeds that are growing up here there. You know, Ellen White had a dream, and she was talking to about this person. And she was going through a garden, and this person was saying, "Oh, look at all these thorns." You know what thorns are? No, you don't know what thorns are? Well, those are the things that hurt. There's plants, bushes out in front by the handicap signs, do not touch those. They have thorns in them, and they hurt. And they're not very pleasant. Also, thistles. Do you know what thistles are? Thistles are these little weeds that grow up and they have razor sharp needles on them. And they can be very unpleasant too. And briars, those are very sharp and unpleasant as well. So, as this lady was walking through the garden, and Ellen White was walking through the garden, they were talking about all these thorns, briars, and thistles, all the negative things, the weeds. Probably, I mean, not in the dream, but if some people may look through their garden and say, "Oh, look at all the dead flowers, all the rotting tomatoes, all those various things," and could be a very discouraging experience walking through the garden. Well, she said to this lady that there are roses, pinks, and lilies, many beautiful flowers in this garden to look at. And it's the same could be said in our garden. You can look around and see all the beautiful flowers. You can see all the ripe fruit that are ready to be picked, the ripe green, or the beans, they're Chinese beans, that are very good. I had some, they're very good. So there's a lot of good things in the garden. So what it comes down to is, what is our focus? What are we looking at? Are we looking at the beautiful things? Or are we looking at the negative things? Maybe at a young age, you don't know too much about this, about the negative things in life and all the bad things in life. You don't want to look at those things. You know the things that you want to look at? Right here. The Bible. You want to look into Jesus. The beautiful things that God has created. Because if we don't, we can have a very, very negative outlook on life. You see that sign up here? It says, "The Pale Horse Rides." We're having an evangelistic series come up. Now, some people will say evangelism doesn't work. Some people say it's a waste of time. But I tell you what, kids, when it's with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, nothing is a waste of time. When you read your Bible, that is not a waste of time. When you go through the garden and focus on all the lovely plants and all the good things in there, it is not a waste of time. I want to read to you this scripture in Romans 10:15. It says here, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So kids, I want you to focus on the good things. Jesus and the Bible. And telling people about Jesus. Those are things we need to focus on. Let us have prayer. Dear Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord, in this world there are so many distractions, games, and TV shows and movies that draw for our attention, but Lord, we want to focus on You. We want to focus on Your creation, and we want to focus on reading Your Word so that we can preach the good news and share more about You to more people. In Your name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Okay, it's time for our prayer this morning. Those of you that would like to gather up front or have a blue card, feel free to come up at this time. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise Your name this morning again for Your goodness and mercy to each of us, bringing us safely through another week, for hearing and answering our prayers for loved ones, for family, for friends. We thank You for Your tender regard for all of us. And little do we know, I'm sure, of how You guard and protect us through each day. And we just thank You for the promises that You give us in Your Word that heal our hearts. And Lord, if there are those here today that are touched with sorrow or sadness or disappointment of any kind, I pray that they can be lifted up to You today, that their hearts would be melted by Your love and to know that You're with them and walking with them through any trial that they might be undertaking today. May they just cast their cares upon You as we sing about each Sabbath. And Lord, we do ask that you would break us and melt us and mold us and fill us with your Spirit. We do need your Spirit so desperately. And I just ask for this precious gift that you would come and abide with us through your Spirit today, and that we would recognize you as our only hope, our only help, to carry us through this life and into heaven. We know, Lord, that we are sinners and that we need a Savior, and we want to thank you for being our personal Savior this morning, for touching our lives with your precious Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would change us, please, from the inside out, that you would take away our bent towards sin, that you would take our eyes off of the world and work in us to transform us and to sanctify us for the home that you've prepared in heaven, that we can truly be children of the King today. So I pray now for the cards that have been presented, and for those that weren't able to write a card, for whatever silent requests are on each heart today, I pray that you'd go to each person and give them your comfort, that your Spirit would be here to touch Pastor Draggett today, that we would give our undivided attention during this sacred hour, and that we would recognize what you're trying to say to each of our hearts. And we just thank you, and we come in your all-powerful name. Amen.
Our offering today is a little different than it was set out to be. I think when they determined what the offerings were going to be at the beginning of this year, no one had in mind Hurricane Harvey or Hurricane Irma and the needs that would be created by the destruction of the hurricane and everything that took place. I want to show for just a minute or so here is this is Dan Jackson, the president of North American Division, and he is presenting a little appeal to us to help our brothers and sisters and our fellow Americans that have been affected by these two hurricanes or will be.
I'm speaking this morning to our family in the North American Division. We have a part of our family this very morning who are in deep trouble, in deep need. And so I'm appealing to you today, this Sabbath, speaking this morning to our family in the North American Division. We have a part of our family this very morning who are in deep trouble, in deep need. And so I'm appealing to you today, this Sabbath, to dig deep and to give an offering to assist those who are in need in the southwest area of the United States. My prayer is that you will be impressed with their need and that you will act accordingly. Mark your envelope, ACS, Hurricane Relief. God is going to bless you and through you, the people in need in Texas and Louisiana. Thank you very much in advance.
I'm sure that this will also be in helping people in Florida that are going to be affected by this hurricane that's about to hit. So if you have time to mark your envelope, ACS Hurricane Relief, or just anything that's dropped into the offering plate today loosely will be going to this also. The deacons will pick up the offering now. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be of service to our fellow man who is in need, those who are suffering in Louisiana and Texas. We pray that you would bless the offering today. May it help those in need there and also those who are in harm's way right now. We pray that you would be with them, protect them. We know that there are many of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are in harm's way this morning and tomorrow. Be with them. Just pray that you would continue to bless us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
With all the negatives going on in our lives, just as we heard in the children's story, I hope that each one of us focuses on a constant that will never leave us or forsake us, and that's our Savior Jesus Christ. So in all the disasters in our country and our own personal lives, one thing is for sure, Jesus is coming back soon. And This song is called Every Heartbeat Brings Me Nearer Home, and the lyrics will be up there on the screen. And so we would like to ask that you join us. We will repeat the last chorus, and we'd like the congregation to join us on that last chorus. Every heartbeat brings me nearer home.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Lo, a place I will prepare for thee. Every heartbeat brings me nearer than before. To their home and to their Savior I adore. Tis that comfort sweet to know as I journey here below. Every heartbeat brings me nearer.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. To the Father's house I am the way. I will pray and he shall send the Spirit that he may abide with you for
Every heartbeat brings me nearer than before. To the home and to the Savior I adore. Tis a comfort sweet to know as I journey here below. Every heartbeat brings me nearer home. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Whatsoever ye ask, ye shall and my peace shall unto you be given. I have told you that ye might believe. Every heartbeat brings me nearer than before. To the home and to the Savior I adore. Tis a comfort sweet to know as I journey here below, every heartbeat brings me nearer home.
Please join us.
Every heartbeat brings me nearer than before, to the home and to the Savior I adore. Tis a comfort sweet to know as I journey here below. Every heartbeat brings me nearer home. Every heartbeat brings me nearer home.
Our scripture this morning is taken from Luke 10, verse 2. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me now? Very good. We are going to start with a little video clip.
For 1,000 years, a pact between political
horse
forces
ride,
and the church committed
here,
atrocities in the name
the
of Christ.
The series starts on the 27th of October, and we have a little video clip about it that I would like you to see right now.
For 1,000 years, a pact between political forces and the church committed atrocities in the name of Christ. What would Christianity look like if the teachings of Jesus alone had been used to build the church? And why do so many people feel uneasy about religion today? There are answers. Discover the living on the fringe of the empire, miraculously in possession of the scriptures, faithful followers of God. How they lived will revitalize your faith. Join Sean Boonstra of the Voice of Prophecy as he explores early church history. Hear the rarely told stories of the 1,000 years that fanned the flames for Martin Luther and experience a revival of faith in your own life today. From the makers of Shadow Empire, A Pale Horse Rides, coming October 2017. For 1,000 years, a pact between political forces and the church committed atrocities in the name of Christ.
Start Friday night, then Saturday night, then Sunday night, and you have a
What would Christianity look like if the teachings of Jesus alone had been used to build the church? And why do so many people feel uneasy about religion today? There are answers.
I hope that you will
discover the untold stories, ancient barbarian.
This is a series that you can invite individuals to, and there will be a follow-up series the following weekend and so forth. And so I will talk a little more about that in a little bit. I love mountains. And, you know, I grew up in Norway, as all of you know. And I don't like climbing mountains, but I like the view from the top. I also loved the view from our home when I was growing up. I had an amazing panoramic view of a whole range of majestic snow-covered mountains on the horizon every single day. And I kind of learned to take it for granted because it was something I saw every day and I never, didn't really take a second look most days because I was so used to it. But every summer, cruise ships would come to my town and one after the other, wow, look at that. Now you know why Norway has such a low population. Anyway, now most of the tourists that come there, they have never seen such majestic views, so they're absolutely amazed. To them, that's a totally new experience, a once-in-a-lifetime perspective. They come on their cruise ships and they just go home and wow, you know, they had a once-in-a-lifetime thing. My friends, God wants you, He wants me, to view the world from a different perspective. He wants us to have a new perspective. You mind if I move this back a little? I think that's better. He wants us to see the world as He sees the world, from His divine perspective. Now, and that is going to be, if we gain God's perspective of things, that's going to be a life-changing perspective. And that's the title of my message today, A Life-Changing Perspective. Now, I would like to speak a few more weeks on this same theme, a life-changing perspective, regarding what? Well, we're going to talk about the harvest. Jesus is going to challenge each one of us to pray a life-changing prayer to God, to the Lord of the harvest. And if you read the text, Luke 10 verse 2, it talks about the Lord of the harvest. And our focus is going to be on the Lord of the harvest for the next few weeks in terms of that specific metaphor. If you pray this prayer in simple faith, to the Lord of the harvest that I'm going to be talking about, our lives will be changed forever. But before we can pray this prayer, we have to see the world from a different perspective, a new perspective, God's perspective. You know, I talked to a man a couple of years ago, whom some of you are familiar with. His name is Derek Morris. Derek Morris I owe a lot of this to him, what I'm sharing with you the next few weeks, and he is okay with that. I contacted him a few days ago, and he sent his greetings. But he specifically wants wanted his church to understand the amazing effect they will have in the church when they have the right perspective of things. So some of the things I'm sharing with you, I'm actually I have received from him. And because it inspired me so much. Now, so this life-changing perspective is found in Luke 10, verse 2. Jesus shares with his apostles and also with us that the harvest truly is great. You're not going to have a handout today, so you need to open your Bible, Luke 10, verse 2, if you want to follow along in the scriptures. There will be some other scripture texts. I'll give them to you, and then you open them. We're not going to have that many scriptures today as compared to previous Sabbaths. You have enough handouts, enough things in your bulletin. I didn't want to give you another one today. What does Jesus mean when he says that the harvest truly is great? When you use the term great harvest, you really mean that it is plentiful. You mean it's abundant. It's extensive. Right? That's what you mean. The metaphor of the harvest is used in two ways in the teachings of Jesus. When he talks about the end of the world, he refers to it as the harvest. In Matthew 13, verse 39, that's the first other text that I wanted to share with you. Jesus tells us there in Matthew 13, 39 that the harvest is the end of the age. And the harvesters are the angels. Now, you find a similar metaphor in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 16. Because there, in chapter 14, verse 16, it talks about the harvest of the wicked. Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe, it says there. Now, from these two passages of Scripture, it is clear that the harvest can refer to the gathering of the saints at the end of the age and to the judgment of the wicked. But Jesus also uses the metaphor of the harvest to apply to present missionary work. Work that leads to men and women, boys and girls, human beings, getting a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and then gathering them into the kingdom of God. This is the meaning of the harvest in the passage of Scripture that we are studying today, Luke 10, verse 2. Now look at the context for these words of Jesus. In Luke 10, verse 1, Luke tells us that after these things, he says, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So they were involved in the work of harvesting. It's a present activity for the disciples back then to be harvesting. And that's the same with us. This is not a final harvest that Luke is talking about, the end of the world harvest. Now, in this present harvest work that you and I, along with, you know, as well as the disciples back in the first century, that are involved in, God is using us. He's not using angels. He's using us, sending us out two and two into God's harvest field. So what does Jesus mean when he says the harvest truly is great? Simply this, that there are many people, men and women, boys and girls, who are ready and who are waiting to be gathered in, into God's kingdom. They only need to hear the good news, and they need to hear the invitation, to receive the invitation. Now, according to Jesus, there is a present harvest to be gathered in, and he says the harvest truly is great. But that raises a question, a second question. Why does Jesus emphasize that the harvest is great? It truly is great, he says. And you might say, well, because it is. It is great. And that's right, partially correct. Jesus is telling us the truth when he says the harvest truly is great. Now, have you heard what happened on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven? And Peter had preached a wonderful, a powerful sermon. And then he concludes with these words in Acts 2, verse 36. He says in Acts 2, verses 36 and onwards, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he's preaching here to the people, pointing to their sinful condition, pointing to their situation, pointing to Jesus Christ. And then Luke writes in verses 37 through 40, Luke 2, 37 through 40, he says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now what an amazing day that must have been. What a day of rejoicing. Thousands of people gave their lives to Christ because Peter was preaching. And there was a harvest taking place. When the apostles witnessed the conversion of thousands of people, I'm sure that they said to each other, wow, Jesus was right. The harvest truly is great. And it's the same with us. When we hear about thousands receiving Christ as Savior and Lord, we also find it easy to express the same thing. You know, we get really easily inspired when we see crowds of people giving their lives to Christ, right? The words of Jesus are obviously true. Now, I remember reading about how the Holy Spirit worked, and he's always working in the various divisions of the church around the world, but in the Inter-American Division, I specifically remember one day when I heard that on one Sabbath, almost 45,000 people were baptized. One Sabbath. Clarissa Pozo de Los Santos, I think her name was one of the candidates for baptism who gave her testimony on that day. And she said, I was walking in the world and I saw how there is so much evil and so much pain and so much sadness, and God has something else for me. It's like having a new life now. I know that it will be different with God's help. In other words, she was converted. The Holy Spirit had worked in her heart and she gave her life to him. One out of 45,000 on that day. You know, we are witness to amazing miracles like that at times. We see people being converted. We see people having their lives changed. And we say, wow, God has done an amazing thing. But when we see one or two or three, we don't usually think, oh, the harvest is great. But you know what? Jesus emphasizes that the harvest truly is great because even then, when there are times when the harvest doesn't look great, he says the harvest truly is great. From a human perspective, there are times when it seems like there is no harvest at all. Now, at those times, Jesus also then urges us to remember that the harvest truly is great. He urges us to view reality from a different perspective. His perspective. And when we see things the way he sees things, we will discover that the harvest truly is great. Have you ever read the story of Jesus meeting with a Samaritan woman at the well of Sychar? There's in John 4 verses 3 through 42. That's where you find the story. Now, at first glance, there doesn't seem to be much of a harvest of souls there at that, in that location on that day. Only one person comes to the meeting. Just one wayward woman, one immoral woman came to that meeting. Now, when the disciples arrive on the scene, what do they see? Well, immediately they evaluate the situation and they conclude that, you know, there isn't much of a harvest here. And Jesus knows what they're thinking. He reads their faces. And he startles them with these words. In John 4:35, Jesus said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest?" In other words, it's not now, it's later. "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for the harvest." Do you think that only applies back then? You know, in spite of the bleak landscape, Jesus sees that the harvest truly is great. And I'm so thankful that Jesus can see past the externals, aren't you? That one immoral woman, that wayward woman, returns to Sychar, to the village that she had come from. And she gives her testimony about her life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what happens next. Verses 39 to 42. John 4, 39 to 42. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Now that's the way it's supposed to happen. You lead people to Jesus, and then they will hear him. And he will fill their hearts. The Holy Spirit will fill them, and they will be converted, and they will be transformed. You know, many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of this woman's testimony. The harvest is so plentiful there that Jesus stays for an additional period of time, for 2 days it says, and many more people came to believe because of his word. Now some of us would probably have driven straight through without stopping in Sychar or in that area. Or better yet, we may have chosen to ignore the town altogether. No harvest here. At least from a human perspective, there is no harvest that we can see. But Jesus challenges us to look again, to open our eyes, or perhaps to give the Lord of the harvest permission to open our eyes and to enable us to see things from his life-changing perspective. And then we will more fully comprehend the truth in the words of Jesus: "The harvest truly is great." Now, I want you to look at another slide here. Need to have another slide. Okay, so Pale Horse Rides, we talked about that, coming up on the 27th of October. By the way, you see the phone number? You see the website? This is all up and running. If you check out that website, you will come to our website. It's palehorserides.com/Wichita. It's the Three Angels website that is set up for this only. Let's go to the next. Now, this is a page from the website. And basically, there are a lot of things that can be done there. But I just want you to go and check it out for yourself when you go home. And you can even register. By the way, this is a seminar that needs to be registered for. We are aiming for a harvest. How big the harvest is up to the Lord of the harvest and the people of the city. But God has a harvest in mind for us. Now let's go to the next. And so, again, it starts on the Friday night. And again, this is a weekend. Now, following this, there is another seminar starting the following Friday. So you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, October 27, 28, and then the following, next slide. These are the topics for the 3 days. Rome is burning, an underground movement, barbarian fire. Then, go to the next, this one, here we go. Okay, we transferred it from my computer to his, and apparently the text is off here, but Living with Hope is the title of it, and it starts November 3. And again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and onwards. This is going to be something that will, it's going to be something new, different. It will not be your usual run-of-the-mill evangelistic series that we will have following this weekend called Pale Horse Rides. But it's going to be a new approach, especially geared for people that normally don't come to evangelistic meetings. It's going to be different. It's going to be geared towards the younger generations, specifically, but that doesn't mean that the rest of us will not enjoy it. In other words, if you have attended evangelistic meetings in the past, and so you feel, well, hey, more of the same, not so fast. These are different meetings. They're going to be different. We don't assume in these meetings that people know anything about the Bible or about God. Everyone will receive a Bible and the tools to mark their Bibles. And we actually will be marking our Bibles in this series. We'll be marking them right at the meetings, starting from scratch. But they're also helpful to those who already know the Bible but would like to know how to share your faith with others. And, not the least, the meetings will be a great opportunity to introduce friends, Christians or not, to the teachings of the Bible. And it's safe to bring Christians as well as people that are not Christians to these particular meetings, because we will not assume anything. Again, this is going to be the follow-up to the Pale Horse Rides, which basically talks about what? It talks about the church in the Middle Ages, the Reformation, Martin Luther, and basically we're going to go right back to the scriptures. Like Luther said, sola scriptura, we're going to start with scripture, and we're going to explain scripture, and we're going to take them through a Bible marking course. And so we want to invite you to be part of that. Now, there is another handout in your bulletin. It's a prayer card. The harvest truly is great, Christ said. I'm praying that you and I will have God's perspective when it comes to that. And when you look at that prayer card that is in the bulletin, on the back, it says, Lord, I'm praying for an opportunity to invite these people. This is not a card that I want you to return to me or to us. This is a card for you to keep, to prayerfully consider whom to invite to these meetings. But not only whom to invite to the meetings, but whom, you know, pray for opportunities, for divine appointments, to communicate the gospel to them, or at the least to interest them in coming to learn more about Jesus. Now, maybe they would enjoy the first seminar, Pale Horse Rides. Maybe you feel that, oh, they need to start from scratch. And then you can invite them to the second one. We're going to try to channel people from the first one to the second one, but these are independent in one sense, that you can invite people to whichever one of these you like, so that we can take them, introduce them to the Bible, introduce them to Jesus, help them to discover that there is a purpose. And so maybe we'll find, when you pray about these things, when you pray for people, when you think of whom to pray for, maybe God will impress upon you that what seems impossible from man's perspective is very possible from God's perspective. It doesn't matter what people say. You often hear people say, it can't happen. such and such a relative of mine, it can't happen. Or the church, it can't happen here. Or it won't work. No one will show up. But I want you to know that when the Lord of the harvest is involved, anything can happen anywhere. This is His harvest. It's not ours. The Lord of the harvest knows what He's doing. And He says the harvest truly is great. Now, on the day that one of the followers of Jesus, Stephen the deacon, when he was stoned to death on that day, he didn't notice much of a harvest, did he? The Bible tells us when Stephen preached his evangelistic sermon that day, most of the people in the audience were offended and angry. They were gnashing their teeth. They were stopping their ears. They were ranting and raving. Now, I can only imagine if I had had a crowd like that and I was speaking, I might have been tempted to pack up and call 911. But, you know, it's not exactly what you would consider a successful evangelistic meeting, would you say, when you're stoned to death? But Jesus looked down from the right hand of the throne of God and He said, "The harvest truly is great." A young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus was in charge of the coats of those who stoned Stephen that day. And the witness of Stephen changed Saul's life forever. Not long after hearing Stephen's evangelistic sermon, Saul of Tarsus fell flat on his face right before the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, on the road to Damascus. And he cried out, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Acts 9, verse 6. And Stephen's final evangelistic sermon, preached in life as well as in death, has impacted thousands of future believers, future followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus was right. The harvest truly is great, even though it may not look like it right off the bat. Mark Finley, I took a class from him not many years ago. Mark Finley, the evangelist. And he told the story of his conversion and baptism. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I'm going to say this. He said, you know, his father was an Adventist. His mother was not. I think she was Catholic. And the father was very devout. He kept the Sabbath. But he didn't tell his son what to do when he became a teenager up in the year, you know, 18, 19. He didn't tell his son what to do. He just prayed for him and hoped that by his example, the son would follow. Well, Mark loved basketball, and so he played basketball Friday nights. And that was Sabbath hours. But to make a long story short, eventually Mark looked at this father example and he realized that that was not the way to go. But then he says he went to some evangelistic meetings in their hometown. The pastor had evangelistic meetings. And at the end of that series, the only person that was baptized was Mark Finley. Now, was it a failure? You know, what an amazing... I mean, that pastor may have been discouraged. I only had one baptism. Praise God for that one, but I can't exactly say the harvest truly is great. Well, if you know what Mark Finley has done in his lifetime, you know that that harvest truly was great. Because Mark Finley has been around the world preaching to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions. And hundreds of thousands of people have been baptized as a result of Mark's ministry. The Lord of the harvest is in the miracle working business. And so he's retired today, Mark Finley, but he's still involved in leading people to Christ, even in his retirement. And, you know, the harvest was great. Absolutely. You see, my friends, the words of Jesus are true. Even though it may not be always clear to us, the harvest truly is great. Did you know that there are people here in the sanctuary today just waiting for an invitation to become part of God's kingdom? There are people here this morning who want to make a full commitment, I believe, to Jesus and to become part of his kingdom. I'm going to talk about one. There are two young men that I've talked over the last week or two that come to mind that have made that decision to follow Jesus just recently. But one of them, his name is Pacific, and I'd like to talk to Pacific a little bit. Where are you, Pacific? Where are you? You're there. Okay, you can come up here. That's fine. And I'm going to use this mic. Pacific, you came from Africa how long ago? 2 years ago. I need a microphone. Thank you. Thank you. Come here, please. 2 years ago. Now, when you came, when you were in Africa, were you a Seventh-day Adventist?
Yeah, I was.
Were you a converted Seventh-day Adventist?
No.
Okay, so now you, when you came to this country, I'm going to make it rather short. But when you came to this country, you came to church, right?
Yeah, I came to church every Saturday.
Why did you come to church?
I came to church because of my mom, because of my family, as I used to do in the past.
Okay, but you weren't really very... how would you express it?
I mean, yeah, I came to church every Saturday, but the 7 days of the week, I live like I didn't know much about the Savior Jesus Christ, and he didn't know nothing about me, but he searched me and he found me in the darkness that I was living in. And my heart has been changed right now.
Amen. He told me his story last week. Do you know how it happened? It's amazing, really. You may be a little surprised. You may even be a little bit offended. No, not really. Pacific told me last week that he was living in the world, but he had come to church, but he was not dedicated to God. And then did you stop going to church?
Yeah, I stopped because it haven't changed me, and I said, why shouldn't I stay home and just live like I live all 6 days? Why would I go to church if the church doesn't change anything about me? So I decided to stay home and do those things that I was doing, and that's the way I was growing up.
How many others are there of us who find ourselves in that situation? Now, what happened next is that Pacific, a couple of friends came into his life. These friends happened to be Mormon missionaries. And the Mormon missionaries were sharing Jesus with him. And they became his friends, and they helped him in so many ways, and they were just there for him, right? And they became their friends. So much so that he was rebaptized. He was baptized in the Mormon church. But then he went to church, and what happened?
Yeah, those guys, they came and found me when I was home. And so they teach me about Jesus Christ and what they believe. But I was satisfied about Jesus Christ, but my beliefs and their beliefs was different. So I tried and tried, but we couldn't have the same beliefs. So they have been the friend of mine. They helped me grow my faith in Jesus Christ as the little seed. Yeah, but I can see the change in my life. And so I keep praying and praying and coming to know Jesus Christ. So I tried my best, and so they became my friends and helped me know know that Jesus loves me and he wants me to be the part of the king, of his kingdom. So I kept praying, and so I decided to get baptized even before I go to church, because I had no other options. I knew that Jesus wanted me to go there. That's all I knew. And I decided to get baptized in their church. So I have been baptized, and I love them. And they helped my faith grow in Jesus Christ. So, but then later I decided that the Seventh-day Adventist, I kept praying and searching and ask God if the Seventh-day Adventist, that the things they teach is true and can help me grow as a better Adventist. So I know that the salvation is the free gift given to me and given to you. I know that the Jesus came to take away came our sins, and he came for us. He came to take the sins that we and the bad decision that we made in our past. But I believe that the Jesus is walking right now. That the things that Seventh-day Adventists teach can change our lives, especially that we are waiting for Jesus Christ. And the prophecy helps us to remember that Jesus is coming soon. He is coming. And we can live in better life, in healthy. And we can have better living through the Adventist teachings. I have seen the change in my life. And that the Jesus is in me. And nothing can stop my faith right now. And I mean, I would just go in the neighborhoods and tell the people about Jesus Christ. Even though they don't want to hear about it, I'd just go and tell them what Jesus wants me to say. Just came back home and, yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pacific. And Pacific would love to, you know, have other soulmates among the young to be with him. And because, you know, we need to grow an army of youth that can reach out. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why I have decided that these meetings we're going to have are going to be geared towards the young people. Not in a compromising way, but geared towards the young people and geared towards those who don't know Jesus. And thank you for sharing. Now, there is someone here this morning who is listening to this message, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. You know that it's time for you to say yes to Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You may be in a pacific situation where you just are living 6 days in the world, and the seventh day you go to church, and you wonder why. I would encourage you, pray to the Lord, but also seek out people that you can see have truly experienced Jesus, and they can share Jesus with you. You know, the difference, what I notice is that these two individuals came into his life. It's not enough just to have Sabbath morning church services. Each one of us can be witnesses. You can come into people's lives, and they don't even have to be people out there. It could be a person in the church. It could be somebody just like Pacific and others that have a need to see Christ at work in our lives, to see something that works, somebody caring. I want you to invite you to take a stand for Jesus today. I want to invite you to make a public confession, if you will, of your love for Jesus or of your desire to give yourself to Jesus. A public confession of your faith. Because today is the day to take a stand for Jesus. And, you know, the harvest truly is great. Jesus sees the heart. We see the outside. He sees the heart. Now, so I want to encourage those of you who would like to be part of sharing Jesus with others the way Pacific said he was going to do. that he's involved with. I want you to take this card. You know, you have the card invitation to the meetings coming October. There are many, many more cards here on that camera platform. You can take with you some cards to share with others. People that you pray for. I would say pray for each person that you give the card to. We can get a lot more cards. We have thousands. We can have thousands of cards. But we want to start already now. And to sow the seed. And you will hear about it the coming weeks. Because really the most effective form of evangelism is the individual person going out and saying, can you come with me? Let me share Jesus with you. Let me share with you the Word of God so that you may know what I know. That we can walk on that journey together. In fact, a number of you have already made a decision. Some of you have already made a decision. There are some that aren't here, but made a decision to be baptized. And over the next months, you will be baptized. But I want to invite every single one of you who would like to either be baptized or to recommit yourself to the Lord of the harvest and to be sharers of the goodness with others. I want to invite you to stand right now. To stand with me, and we're going to sing our closing song together. But before we leave, after the closing song, now I shouldn't call it the closing song. We're going to sing one verse of the song we're going to sing one verse of the closing song now, but then after that, we're going to have a season of prayer together. And then we'll sing the remaining verses at the end. In fact, when the season of prayer is almost over, I will continue with the remaining verses so that you can join in for that. But again, how many of you would like to make that decision to Christ? I ask the question to stand. I notice all of you were not standing, but I know that God has a purpose for every single one of you in this ministry of reaching people for Christ.
Near and near their gold is gleaming o'er the sounding soap. Far and near sheaves to gather here the harvest has won.
Okay. In as much as we have meetings starting in a month and a half, I'd like us to meet in groups of two or three or four right now here. Kneel and then just have a prayer. It could be a silent prayer. It could be an audible prayer. Pray for the individuals in your life that you would like to invite to the meetings, or you don't have to mention them by names. It could be something, could even be a silent prayer, as I said. But let us take that time right now, and then we'll conclude with the last two verses of the song.
there are many needs in a congregation, many people that are longing for something better, many young people that are struggling. Many of them are not even here today. But I pray, Father, that you will give us the vision, the perspective that you have more and more, that we will be confident in telling people about you, knowing that really the results are not up to us. We are the messengers. And so may we truly experience an abundant harvest as we continue, as we go through the next few weeks, sharing Jesus with others, inviting them to participate in the meetings coming up. We thank you. Father, you know each one of us here this morning, and those who could not make it today but are usually coming here. Father, you know how many know you and how many of us don't. You know the situation of our heart, of our lives. You know how many are here physically but are looking for something better, are looking for a closer walk with you. We'd like to experience the real thing. And so I pray, Father, that you will reveal yourself to each and every one here, that your Spirit will mightily work in each of our lives, and that you will help each one of us to get to know you through your word. I pray for these upcoming meetings where we will not take anything for granted, but will lead people step by step into your word. Pray that you will press upon us whom to invite to come with us, that we will really have a new experience, and they will have a new experience of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of you. So guide us as the weeks go by to find these individuals, and we pray that you, if we haven't yet committed our lives to you, that you will work in our lives in such a way that we will truly get to know you. Thank you, Father, that you are the Lord of the harvest and you can see things that we cannot see. Thank you that you can make anything possible as long as we are looking to you and look at things from your perspective. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.